Futures Radio Show, sponsored by CME Group, the world's leading and most diverse futures and options exchange. CME Group's markets help individuals and businesses around the world effectively manage risk. For access to free educational tools and resources for the active individual trader, please visit activetrader.cmegroup.com.
Every day, traders and investors dive in to tackle the ever-changing markets to find opportunity. Futures Radio Show is your number one source for answers to the questions that all market participants want to ask. Veteran futures trader Anthony Crudele sits down with the most influential leaders and top traders in the industry. Now, here's your host, Anthony Crudele.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in for this episode with Alex Bloom. Remember, new shows are posted every Monday and Thursday. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes and YouTube. And if you're enjoying the show, please leave a review on iTunes. Before I play today's interview for you, I want to give a shout out to the great sponsors of Futures Radio Show. CME Group, Trading Technologies, RJO Futures, and Top Step Trader. To learn more about these sponsors and the important things they are doing for futures traders, be sure to click on their logos on our website. Now, today I spoke with the founder and CEO of Atomic Capital, Alex Bloom. Alex is brilliant when it comes to understanding blockchain and digital security tokens. So in today's chat, we discussed blockchain and how Alex believes it will be impacting financial markets in the short term and the long term. We talked about digital security tokens, decentralized exchanges, and cryptocurrencies. Without further ado, let me take you right to the interview with Alex. Alex, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Well, it's great to have you here today, Alex. Thank you so much for joining me. Now, we're going to talk a lot about blockchain technology and what you've got going on at Atomic Capital. But first off, I want to talk to you about your education on blockchain technology. You know, I was going through your background. I noticed that you had studied at MIT. So I was wondering, did you learn about blockchain technology when you were at MIT, or is this something that you picked up after you graduated?
At school, I didn't study blockchain whatsoever. I was going to grad school and was looking at a new type of telecommunications network for rural areas called software-defined radio base stations. So completely unrelated, or I mean, it's all tech stuff, but no formal education in it. However, when I was starting a previous company setting up rural telecom networks, I was consulting with a group that's kind of an advisor mentor to me, and they were very interested in blockchain and Bitcoin. It was in 2013, and so I got some early exposure to it as a byproduct of my primary company not making any money at the time. So that's kind of how I got into all of it.
Okay, so that's how you got involved in blockchain technology. Now you have Atomic Capital. Talk to us about that.
So Atomic Capital, we always struggle to, I think, perfectly define ourselves, but are a combination of software developers and financial professionals. So about half of the team knows how to code, and the other half has FINRA licenses. And we essentially are creating technologies and also operating as FINRA license reps in the sale and issuance of digital, what we call digital securities, but essentially securities that are held or represented as blockchain-based assets. We continue to develop, and there are other products and initiatives that are underway. We also have a venture fund and a few other things going on, but that's kind of the core competency. It's just people that know enough about the law, finance, and technology to kind of navigate what's a pretty complex ecosystem.
How much demand are you guys seeing for your services?
More than we can possibly handle. Specifically, people refer to security tokens. It's really just coming into its primacy, and we were already built our own product. Have already done the issuance of previous securities, including we sold 10% of equity in our own company as the first project we even did. So we're, I think, pretty well positioned and pretty well differentiated to receive a lot of this opportunity. I think challenges, you know, you kind of have this adverse selection issue where companies that are looking to raise funds through this mechanism are either typically companies that were trying to do ICOs or initial coin offerings, which is essentially the unregistered sale of securities in the United States, which is a federal crime. Or on the other side, companies that can't find ways to fundraise elsewhere, just kind of junky projects. So the real challenge is not that there's always people think you can get the money. There's always endless friends and people that want to chat with you, but it's really a question of parsing through all that and find the quality projects that are going to represent our company well and that we can actually go successfully raise money for.
Obviously, you know, this is Futures Radio Show. So majority of my listeners are traders and investors. So we all want to know how what you're doing is going to impact our industry. If you could, please just dumb it down a little bit for us and just explain what it is that you guys are doing and how that will impact the financial industry.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really easy to get very highfalutin and lost in some of the jargon of the industry. What we do, I think where the talk is around all this stuff and where the reality is are very different places. So in reality, the primary things we're doing are actually primarily not related to blockchain, but have to do with compliance and due diligence. And so, for example, people make an account on our website. It's helium.atomiccapital.io is our actual application. And at the get-go, you're just going through like an AML KYC check and accreditation check just to make sure that you're eligible to make an investment of any kind, as you would for any kind of private placement, Reg D or Reg S kind of investment. And then once people have gone through that process, they can view various offering documents a lot like, I'm hesitant to be, try to dissociate from like equity crowdfunding, but similar to a platform like that, where it's just providing with relevant information and presenting it in a clear way so that you can make an assessment about the attractiveness of a investment vehicle. And then if somebody does decide to invest, they sign a, you know, an embedded DocuSign contract on our platform. But that contract says, you know, this token was referred to or digital security is going to represent some kind of real security instrument. So that could be equity or debt type instruments or even derivative products. So essentially it's just a legal and electronic wrapper around a traditional security that then takes on unique features that a blockchain enables. Primarily people emphasize the possibility of greater liquidity on illiquid assets, as well as easier compliance with whatever securities regulations law is out there, and that can be automated in some ways via code. And then I think additionally, just sort of being able to enforce rules, it's kind of similar to what I was just saying, but just kind of ease and lower cost of administrating a security ongoing.
Thanks, but I'd like to dig a little bit deeper on explaining to everybody what it is that you guys do and how it is impacting our industry. I know because of compliance, you probably can't give us a customer or client's name, but can you give us a real life example of what you're doing and how it is impacting the financial industry?
So I think because of it, like nascency of the industry, there's not many things that really take on a lot of the benefits people espouse. So to be specific, you know, I've worked on projects related to tokenizing LP interests in a VC fund. So instead of giving money to some guy and he goes and buys startups and you wait 7 years, 10 years to get your money back, hopefully, instead you invested, you know, the Reg D kind of offering, which has typically a 1 year lockup period. But then after that 1 year lockup period, I could actually potentially trade that or do a peer to peer type trade, or they're actually secondary markets that are registered with the SEC that have ATS licenses. Some of the prominent ones are Open Finance, T0, Templum here in the United States that allow for like a order matching book trading of, you know, LP interest in a VC fund. So suddenly I can get out after a year or maybe 3 years, and you're also getting real-time pricing on the received value of that security as well.
Okay. Now, what would make sense to you right now to convert into a digital security token?
Yeah, so I mean, kind of along that line, because there's like still a lot of friction and unfamiliarity in some of the products that allow for you to like own a wallet to hold your various securities or cryptocurrencies, which are different things. It's not like a super easy, it's not like using Google. So the things that make sense are going to be things that are currently not very liquid, and also I believe have a high potential for some kind of exponential upside, because otherwise I'm not going to like, a lot of people think debt, like real estate or real estate debt is very promising because there's so much of it. But like, why am I going to take all this perceived technology risk if at the end of the day I'm just getting like a 7% coupon on some real estate debt? I'm not going to do that. So I think it's things that, you know, like late stage or mid stage growth private equity or these tokenized VC funds where you can make them more liquid. And I'm also pretty interested to do it because it might, you know, go 10x or something like that. So it's worth or overcomes the perceived technology risk.
I want to talk about the platform a little bit. And I was reading about you guys and something caught my eye about you guys introducing a reporting requirement into your platform that wasn't required by the SEC. And I was thinking, I'm going, why are they going the extra mile to add this into the platform if the SEC isn't requiring it? Talk to us about that.
Yeah. So I think there are kind of two aspects to that. One is just on a practical level, if these securities are really going to trade like a stock would on a secondary market, then there's no reporting. Like there's very little transparency or ability to even have any information about that company, any kind of relevant KPIs. And so I think regulation itself will evolve in this direction just naturally, because otherwise a lot of this stuff doesn't make sense. Like if it's just an opaque black box and I just happen to know who the CEO is, it doesn't help me trade on a daily or even kind of, you know, semi-regular basis. So I think it's just what's needed in general. And then beyond that, I think, you know, I'm interested in doing this to transform or reshape the way that capital markets function in general. So, you know, even though we're doing this very kind of humble and initial thing, it's, to me, it's kind of like building the roads or highways of a new kind of infrastructure for capital markets. And so, you know, maybe we built part of a sidewalk so far, but, you know, if we're going to do that, it gives me some say over how those capital markets function. And so I'm going to create them in ways that follow my values.
I think we both agree that in the long term, blockchain technology is going to massively disrupt how financial and capital markets work. How long it takes, I don't know, but you're right in the pulse of this. I'm curious what changes you see coming in, let's say, the next 1 to 3 years.
Sure. So, I mean, I'd say just to not answer your question, I think in the long term, I don't know if it's years or 20 or 30, but I believe that every security will be traded, or every asset really will be traded in a blockchain-based form. On a, like a technology level, just there are innate, like inherent features to a blockchain that are simply better. And as the infrastructure is developed further, it's just obviously, I mean, in my mind at least, very clearly going in that direction. In the short term, I think, you know, the stuff we do, security tokens, is suddenly becoming very trendy or popular here in the United States, especially because suddenly the SEC is letting people know, like, oh, actually, you committed fraud. You didn't sell an ICO token. So every time those kind of jurisdictional or regulatory actions come down, it further emphasizes and supports the need to do these things compliantly. So there's, I really think the coming year, maybe the second half of the year, but at least pretty soon you're going to see a ton of companies moving in this direction. I know of, I can't speak to specifics, but I know of publicly traded companies that are exploring different options, as well as, you know, regular companies that are, you know, mid-stage or late-stage startups. We have clients that are doing in, you know, double-digit millions of revenue, and they just can get better financing on their fundraisers through this mechanism. And then on the investor side, it's just better. So these secondary markets are just coming to market right now. And once that opens up, I think it could be that kind of accelerated trend. I mean, I think in 12 to 24 months, it might not be something that's going to overtake the world, but it's going to start accelerating pretty quickly, I believe.
I just want to go back to what you said at the beginning of the last segment to make sure I had it right. You believe in the long term, every asset will be traded in a blockchain-based form, correct?
Yeah, as well as, I mean, I believe in certain internal back office functions, as well as settlements and custody. I think all of that stuff is moving in this direction. It's less cost, it's more enforceable, it's more traceable, and there's greater protections. Kind of some of the limitations around the transaction speed in certain instances and just ease of use, but there's just features that a blockchain allows for that other kinds of databases do not.
I'm curious, because you think that all assets in the future will be traded using blockchain technology, what are your thoughts on decentralized exchanges?
Yeah. So I think just to take a step back, at least first, you know, it's important to like blockchain and decentralization are not the same thing exactly. So blockchain, or it's really distributed ledger technology, is a really a set of a combination of different tools that allow you to coordinate a bunch of databases, which means that they also be able to communicate in real time and keep their data safe. And so that's really the general terms of what that is. And then you can kind of change or modify some of the features around how that's enforced, such that you get a very highly intensive, centralized and aggressive control over networks instead of the decentralized version, while using a quote unquote blockchain. So for example, if a country issued its money as a, instead of the US dollar, you had the US dollar token, and then every person had to register their identity tied to their wallet, I could see, and that was the only money that could be used in the United States, I can see literally every single transaction down to the 18th decimal point of where money's moving and control every single aspect of that. So that's being said, you know, I personally, you know, there are reasons like centralization exists. There are reasons why dictators are very efficient at certain types of government functions, because when you have fewer people making decisions, things get done more quickly. I'm running a business. Like we're not doing like democratic votes about everybody's feelings and wishes for every single thing. So I think you'll see different places the applications will be useful and other places it won't be. So, you know, I think you also will see kind of like parallel systems evolving, where I definitely think governments will start to take advantage of some of the control features that a blockchain could allow for. Simultaneously, you can have something like Bitcoin that's completely anonymous, which can lead to really dark things, but also can lead to a counterpoint to that kind of authoritarian control. But as far as I think beyond that, I don't really know. I mean, technology is neutral, and it's the humans using it that kind of dictate the terms.
What are your thoughts on cryptocurrencies?
Like cryptocurrencies are, you know, sort of specifically currencies that are not tied to like a national current, like a national government. And so, you know, that's one division of things. And then there are like, there's sort of, you know, it's kind of new class in general. It's hard to think about. So, you know, really what you're seeing is the blending of certain legal or enforcement features into the actual value of money, or even the ability to like design or shape money as a feature of the actual money itself, which is, that probably sounds confusing, but it is. And so you're kind of seeing a conflation of categories into something new or something hybrid-like. And so it's, you can see very variable kinds of forms of it, where you could have like Bitcoin just as one thing. It just saves Bitcoin, it creates new ones. There's going to be total ever 21 million, but that's actually one specific feature. Like there's 21 million. I can't program US dollars to be 21 million. That's just whatever the guy in charge thinks there should be, and you know, however desperate we are to print more cash. So I think that sort of binary definable aspect of technology being blended into value or money takes on a lot of different features and allows things to sort of more directly impact or engage with the, I don't know, it's confusing, but like the notions of value alongside other kinds of features.
A question I've asked many panels and other guests on this show is whether or not the price of crypto is tied to the growth of blockchain. And many of the guests that I have asked this question to are from the crypto side, and pretty much all of them say, yes, it is tied to the growth of blockchain. You focus on blockchain, not crypto. So is the growth of blockchain tied to the price of crypto?
Well, so cryptocurrencies are one application of a blockchain. So, I mean, in a certain sense, like, you know, if the cryptos are growing, then the value, you know, blockchains are growing, and it could be that the cryptos themselves are growing, but that's sort of a, like a logic game. To answer your question in a useful way, I think that it's hard to understand, like, I can create code, right, that sets the rules for the way my cryptocurrency or my blockchain works. So I can set a rule that says every 10 minutes there's another $1 billion of or billion tokens issued infinitely. So that's like a giant supply and it's not going to be valuable. Or I can set rules around like if for every 10 tokens that are taken out, the price of the next token being sold goes up in a proportionate ratio such that the price is increasing per sale as more are being sold. And then you start having these kind of curve bond curve effects where, you know, it becomes sort of asymptotic. Like you can't, the price starts getting higher and the behavior and buying behavior of it responds in kind. And then You can do things, you can create like mathematical economic systems, or at least you can on paper. And so, you know, it depends really how you make the blockchain that you're using itself. It can be a lot of different things. You know, I could create one that just has one token and it can be divisible, but that's going to be very different than one that has a billion per minute being issued. I would say also, like, you know, it's also partially determined by the people that own the things back in reality. Like, if it's a bunch of loan, like sharks that are trying to just buy them and trade them and dump them on other people, that's going to behave price-wise in a very different way than people that are true believers of like a new technology or a new kind of blockchain system are going to interact with it the way they sell or buy it in a different way. And so, like, by itself, the rules that are set in code still won't dictate or tell you what's going to happen. So it's a very human kind of interaction at the end of the day.
What blockchains are you 100% believer in?
I'd say the only one I'm 100% believer in is Bitcoin. So there's like people called Bitcoin maximalists, which I think the extreme case says that like all the other ones are eventually going to fade away and everything will be done on the Bitcoin blockchain. I don't know that I'm 100% in that direction. However, I feel strong. That's the one I feel strongest about.
Great stuff so far, Alex, but we're not going to end on that note. We have some rapid fire questions next if you're ready for those.
Let's do it.
All right, everybody, our Rapid Fire segment is sponsored by Trading Technologies. Access the global markets from virtually anywhere with TT. They are the world's fastest commercially available futures trading platform. And now you can trade cryptocurrency spot and derivative markets side by side. For more information, please visit tradingtechnologies.com. Alex, first question for you today. What trader has influenced your life the most and why?
So actually, I worked for a group that was setting up a crypto hedge fund trading on secondary markets using AI. And I would say that that AI was very influential because trying to be a human and compete against that is a joke. It returned about 9,000% trading crypto in 2017.
What was one of the hardest things for you to overcome learning about blockchain technology?
I think the challenge has been parsing between some of the hype and noise and the actual reality and core things that are existing and also what actually matters. And knowing, okay, like right now we're at sort of infancy of it, like we can't be talking about like flying unicorns and rainbows when we just need to sort of get started on the farm, you know?
What's your favorite book that you've read lately?
My favorite book, I read, what's it called? Discipline and Punish by Foucault, actually. It's about, it's like a history philosophy book about the relationship of the physical body to government power. Throughout history, starting with like the book starts with like disembowelment of people in like medieval times. It's pretty brutal and traces how that's changed to sort of a prison system where it's not as physical but more psychological in its punishment of people.
What do you think is the best way for people to learn about blockchain technology?
So I think it depends on what you want to be involved with it. If it's just to kind of understand it, I think go on the internet, read about stuff. There's a lot of medium.com articles is where kind of stuff's going on, as well as Telegram, the app for phones. If you're trying to actually get into it as a profession or career, or get some kind of deeper insight, I think just like anything, you have to be directly engaged in it. And instead of waiting around, like asking, how do I get involved? Just go get involved.
If you could go back in time and give the younger you a piece of advice, what would it be?
Huh. I think I would probably just tell myself not to think so much. Like when I was young, I was just always trying to like pick at like my ideas, like it was like a scab or something. And then at a certain point, I guess I was like, man, like I've done enough like thinking. I just want to be living a calm and nice life. And so it's been a shift and a relief to me.
Last question for today. What's your favorite thing to do when you're not working?
I really like writing. So undergrad, I studied. English was one of my majors. And so I enjoy writing and kind of slowing down, clearing out my thoughts a little bit.
Where could people find you on social media, preferably Twitter if you're on there? And give us a website to check out.
Sure. So my personal Twitter is Alexander S. Bloom, which is spelled B-L-U-M. On Twitter as well as Telegram. And then our company is Atomic_Capital for Twitter. And then our website is Atomic Capital with two C's in there, .io. So atomiccapital.io is our website.
Alex, what can I say, my man? This was extremely informative. Thank you so much for coming on Futures Radio Show today.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to Futures Radio Show. If you have any questions or comments for myself or my guests, please visit futuresradioshow.com and sign up to be a premium member for free. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes.